deviating a little bit from what I had originally planned, but Romans chapter 12. This scripture has been on my heart all week long, and probably be a little bit before then too. The title of the message is Because of His Mercy. Because of His Mercy. Romans chapter 12. Just going to read two verses of Scripture. Not a long portion this morning. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Say amen if you've got it. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you would, I want you to bow and pray with me that God would minister through me this morning. If it comes out the way it's in my heart, I know God will be glorified this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just come to you, God, and I ask you right now, Father God, Lord, that you would just hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Father God. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you would just minister to me and through me, God, this morning, God. Lord, forgive me of anything, Father God, that would hinder me, Father God, from declaring your message, God. Lord, I pray right now, Father God, Lord, that you would just prepare the hearts of your people, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, God. Let me only speak when spoken through, God. Lord, we're not in a hurry, God, but Lord, we're waiting on you, God. Lord, I pray, God, right now, God, that you would just minister through your servant this morning, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just minister to your people. Feed them a hot meal from heaven, God. Lord, I pray right this in Jesus' name, Father God. I ask this in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. In a world where you see pop stars and rap stars that sing degrading lyrics about men and women, endorsing violence, greed, covetousness, and then at the award ceremonies they give, I want to thank Jesus, or I want to thank God for winning this award. Or maybe even a world where the churches have become confused, have been seduced by spirits of the evil day that we live in, and allowed things to creep in that is not glorifying to God. I can see where in our society, where the Bible holds very little relevance to them, or so that's their opinion, that many people would ask the question, what do Christians look like? You can wear a cross necklace, you can wear a pendant, you can wear a Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt. You can do all those things, but exactly what does Christianity look like when it is lived through the lives of the believer? What should some indicating factors be? What makes you look and tell somebody, say, that there's something different about that person? That person is a Christian. I mean, what made them at Antioch look and call those? The first place where the word Christian is used, or Christ-like, or little Christ was used, was in the book of Acts at Antioch. What made those people look at those believers and say, they are Christ-like? To be honest with you, in the Bible Belt, it should be an easy, easy answer. But I want to say, I believe just because we're in the Bible Belt, we can get blurred. Because everybody's a Christian, just ask them. To be honest, there's a bunch of different ways we could answer this question. They wouldn't be wrong. But one thing that Jesus says is the love that they have one for another. That is the first thing that comes to my mind. Is where Jesus says in John 13:35, it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples or my followers, if ye have love one to another." That is the very first thing that pops in my mind. But however, though this sermon is based on love, that is not going to be the focus. It is the motivating factor behind what we're going to focus on. But I want to address it from another angle that I believe Paul is exhorting the believers at Rome. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but America is a lot like Rome. We can pack out coliseums where people are bludgeoned, beaten half to death, but yet the church is empty. Many. We can do all these things, and many times we look at America and see all this, but a lot was going on in Rome the same way. These were people, these were believers saying, "Look, I live in a godless, actually many gods." That's just like America. We're no longer a Christian nation anymore. We have Hindus praying, we have Muslims praying, we have this, we have a postmodern mindset that always leads to heaven. I want to say this, you might get to heaven, but there ain't but one going to get you in, amen? And His name is Jesus Christ. It's not a religion, He's a person, amen? But many times we look at all this and we realize that just like in Rome, we are finding ourselves in a society that is hostile to our beliefs, but we must be Christian or Christ-like nonetheless. Now, but before I launch out too far, I want to get real back to the basics. Get back to the basics. Because see, I want to say this before you know how Christians are to act and or how they are to love and how they are indicated or what marks a Christian. I think it's important to find out what makes one a Christian. I want to say this. God has children. He does not have grandchildren. You can't make it in because mama and daddy were Christians. You can't make it in because Aunt Sally was a Sunday school teacher. The only way you can make it in is making a personal decision or follow Christ personally. Now, the Bible plainly says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace are ye saved." That's what a Christian is. By grace you are saved through faith. Faith in Christ. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There is not enough money you can place in the offering plate. There's not enough church services to attend to make you Christian. My friend, the only way you become a Christian or born again is by putting your faith and trust in the only begotten Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for your sins. That's the only way. It's not of works, continue on in verse 9, not of works lest anybody should boast. There is nothing we can do except place our trust in Jesus. For we are His workmanship. Now this is where it gets, he talks about what it is to be a Christian. Now he starts talking about, he said, now we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are not saved by your good works, but you are saved unto good works. And my friend, let me tell you, James says it this way. You might can say, "I'll show you my faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works." A faith that does not work is a faith that does not save. That's Bible. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your" what? "Good works." and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now Jesus knew that you wasn't saved by your good works, but the only way that you can tell, come on now, you can't tell if I have faith unless you see it in my actions, right? Faith works. James says it this way in James 2:26. It says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, I want to argue this morning, or I want to state that we as followers of Christ should follow Christ's example. That's what it means to be Christ-like. Christ loved God, the Father, and others. This is what motivated him to offer the greatest sacrifice a person could make, of laying his own life down so that others may go free. He laid down his life as an offering unto God, worthy offering unto God on my behalf. On Stuart's behalf, on Wanda's behalf, on Phil's behalf, on everybody's behalf. He said, you know what? I'm going to work and I'm going to do the things that the Father has sent me to do. That is the reason why on the cross he cried, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life as an offering. And as believers, our lives should be marked by loving sacrifice because of his mercies. But I love him because he first loved me. Now I want you to look. Paul, in verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech ye therefore." Now in verse 1, we see the word beseech. It's the Greek word parakaleo. That word is translated in other interpretations of the Bible as urge and plead. There is little doubt that what is going to follow is of high importance to Paul. He is saying, "I am urging you, I am pleading with you on behalf of the mercies of God." He's making an emphatic exhortation that we should take notice of. What was this urgent message? "That ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Many will say today, "Well, you know what? Jesus' sacrifice done it all and paid it all." And you're exactly right. All the cultic sacrifices of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But my friend, to say that the New Testament does not have place for sacrifices is erroneous. The Bible does not say that all sacrifices are done away with. Now, the cultic sacrifices are. But the Bible states that we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. This is the fruit of our lips. This is our praise. This is our lifestyle. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 6 says, "Ye also as lively stones," and he's using the metaphor of the temple here, "ye as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house." You remember in the Old Testament they worshipped in the temple, and he's saying, look, as believers, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and now you are lively stones built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. If we are to offer up sacrifices to God, church, then we that are acceptable, that lets me know that we can actually offer up sacrifices that are unacceptable. All through the Old Testament, they offered up things that wasn't pleasing to God. Now, it's what they prescribed, but their heart was far from it. Paul is compelling the Christians in Rome that due to God's mercy of grafting them into the covenant with him, they should live their lives set apart unto him. Now, you got to look at Rome. Rome was mainly Gentiles. That's what most of us are. And look back at Romans 11, Paul talks about how that the Gentiles have been grafted in into the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ to be partakers of the Abrahamic covenant in Romans chapter 11. And then that's the reason why he says, I beseech ye, therefore. The reason why, anytime you see the word therefore, ask the question, why is it therefore? Because he links it back to chapter 11 and says, because of this great mercy that God, when you were apart from God, He has grafted you in. You were alien from God, and He has grafted you in. And by this, and by that, that you should, that reason, you should present your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, we have a Christianity without a cross in America. But let me tell you something. If you take the cross out of Christianity, then my friend, you do not have biblical Christianity. Paul is compelling the Christians in Rome, due to God's mercy of grafting them, to set their lives apart. A living sacrifice. Paul's alluding back to the Old Testament sacrifices of the whole burnt offering in this. He's using this metaphor. He's saying, look, I want you to set your life. There's one thing about the whole burnt offering. It was fully consumed by God. Fully offered up to God. He says, I want you to be like that burnt offering. Fully set apart and consumed by God. As a living sacrifice. Every fiber of a Christian being should be devoted to God. Every single iota, every single cell, every single decision, every single thing we do should be devoted to God. Because He was merciful. I want to say this. If we're not careful, we'll offer up sacrifices that are not fit for God. There's several people that's sitting on pews today, even in these pews today, that may be offering up things and thinking that they're offering up a godly life or offering up, well, I'm doing this, God. And God's saying, look, you've got to be holy. He said, however, there's one thing about a living sacrifice. You know, once you killed that bull or whatever it was and you set him on fire, you drained the blood out of him and you light him up, he ain't going to crawl off the altar. But one preacher said it this way. He said, the problem with a living sacrifice is many times it will crawl off the altar. You may have started out a good race. I'm not saying that you're not a Christian, but I want to say this. If you are not fully devoted to God and surrendered to God, then some of your praises, some of your, come on now, is a stench in His nostrils. Amen? I didn't expect too many amens this morning. I'm telling you, this has been on my heart, and He took me out behind the woodshed long before it come to you. You know what God spoke to my heart? He said, you know what? You're looking for a sermon every week, but you're not looking to impact people. You're just looking to preach the word or just preach a message, but I want you to preach life-giving messages straight from me. And I said, God, forgive me of being half-hearted in my study time. Forgive me, God, of being this way. Consume me, O God. Stir in me. Lord, I have forgotten my first love. He said, but you're the preacher. All of us will grow cold. And, amen? And I told God, I said, God, get it out of me. Do a spiritual roto-rooter. God, I want to lay myself back on the altar. I want to be a fire for you, God. It is not a one-time event. We must continually crawl back and say, you know what? Here I go again. Here I go. Not saying that you got to come get saved again, but to draw nigh unto God one more time. Amen. Why on God's green earth would we want to live this kind of life?
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." My friend, it's not about me or you, what we want to do, what our desires are. You know, it's nothing about that. It's all for Him. And we should live that way. Holy and acceptable unto God. It means set apart. The Old Testament sacrifice had to be the best of the best. They couldn't be, you couldn't offer up a three-legged, one-eyed lamb. No, you had to have the very best. You had to, without spot or blemish. It had to cost you something. A worshiper could not offer up just any old animal. It could not be defiled in any way. God required specific things to be done. All through the Old Testament, we read how God had rejected people with unworthy sacrifices. Look at Cain and Abel. Cain offered up what was left over, the works of the ground, the fruit of the ground. It appears his heart was not fully devoted and his offering was rejected. But Abel offered up a precious blood sacrifice. Christ was fully devoted to the Father. He was devoted to the Father's will. It cost Him a great deal of sacrifice. I remember I was struggling with a sin one time, and I was sitting on my bedside in my mama's house, and I'd been praying about this sin. I'd been wrestling with it. I was saved, but I was wrestling with this thing. I would throw it down and pick it right back up. I'd throw it down and pick it right back up. And I said, "God, I just need You to take this from me." And sometimes it takes a little pain. Sometimes when you rip that spiritual band-aid you've been putting on for so long, it rips and it tears. Christ, to do the will of the Father, He had to suffer. Many of you, you say, "Well, I can't, you don't understand, I can't stop doing this now. It's too far gone. It's going to cost me too much." No, my friend, if it keeps going, it'll cost you way more than you'll ever want to pay. You know, I want to read this in another translation, just this one verse. The New Living Translation said it this way. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." I want to say this. If you want to know the mark of a Christian, it's a life of sacrifice devoted to God. Because that's what Christ done. You know, up to this point, I've talked about actions. I've talked about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. But you know, Paul delves a whole lot deeper in the next verse. He delves into what causes actions. You know, there's never been something that you've done that did not cross your mind first. It's got to go through here. You say, "Well, no, sometimes it's just your reaction." But your brain, you may not understand it, but your brain is telling your body to move. In verse 2, Paul reveals that the believers are to be different than the world. Different. We talked about this morning about the different movies and things and all the stuff that you hear. But I want to say this, my friend, we have got to learn. I'm not against movies, but we've got to learn that we've got to judge everything by the Word of God. And if it falls short, call it short and let it be that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with entertainment. But what I was sharing with them, I said, my thing is we live in a biblically illiterate world where people don't read their Bibles and they get their theology from the movies and from books and from country western songs. Come on now. We've got to get back to the Bible. In verse 2, he says, "You've got, be not conformed or made into the image of this world, but be ye transformed." I also love the New Living Translation. If you notice, I got a new translation of the Bible this week, and I'm reading this, and it's awesome, okay? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. See, that's the problem with Christianity a lot of times in America. We're trying to copy the world. And I am not talking about dresses, and I'm not talking about music, because guess what? The devil didn't create music. God did, all right? I'm not talking about a certain style of worship. But what I'm talking about, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Some of us has got stinking thinking. We're still thinking like the world. We're still thinking like the world, and we're still acting like the world. And we have been redeemed out of the world. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If you think the way the world thinks, you will act the way the world acts. I dare say if you listen to pop more, I'm going to say this, if you listen to pop culture more than you listen to God's Word, you are filling your mind with the wrong thoughts. Now, I'm not saying you can't listen to country music and be a Christian, but I am saying this. If you let country music infiltrate the world's ideas through the vehicle of country music or through rap or through whatever it is, if you let it infiltrate, there's nothing wrong with the styles of music. What's wrong is the ideas and the philosophies behind them. See, if you act the way the world, think the way the world thinks, you will act by the way the world acts. If you watch more television than you read and study your Bible, what influences are you learning? I'm just going to ask you. I can look back over the 20 years. I remember the first kiss on TV, and I ain't talking about, it was on MTV. Do y'all remember that? I ain't talking about the first kiss on TV. I'm talking about the first homosexual kiss on TV. Man, it was scandalous. Matter of fact, I think somebody here last Sunday was talking about going and watching a movie as they were little, and all they could, they showed a little bit, it was the dresses in the movie was a little bit revealing of the women, and that was scandalous. But now, my friend, you turn on TV. You put the frog in the hot, in the pot and turn it up slowly, he'll sit there and swim around until he's cooked. What I'm saying is, if you're not careful, and I'm not saying you've got to be out of the world. That is not what I'm saying. But you can't be of the world. We need to influence. We need, as Christians, to write books and make movies and do all these things with Christian philosophies and spread our message. But the problem is, we're getting our message and the world's message confused. Your best life now. Oh, that's a good book. Well, my friend, I hope you don't ever have your best life on this world. Amen. If you consult Dr. Phil and Oprah and friends, or even, yes, mama and daddy more, because mom and daddy can be wrong. If they're not grounded in the Word of God, if they're not grounded, you could be receiving the wrong ideas, and ideas become thoughts, and thoughts become actions. However, if you let the Word of God, like Paul's saying, is penetrate, get inside your mind, and the way you think, you will act in the manner that is pleasing to God. Sister, would you come? See, I am not against. I'm not one of those preachers that says, oh, you can't have fun. I've had more fun since I was a Christian than ever before. And I remember it. And it didn't come with a headache. But the thing about it is, we must let the Word of God get in our mind. I want you to stand. Penetrate our mind. You say, well, what difference does it make? I'm just going to give you two examples. That's it. For time's sake. What does the Word say about retaliation? The world says, hey, you slap me, I'll knock your teeth out. The Word says, turn the other cheek. What about giving? Well, the Bible says, you get all you can and can all you can get. The Bible says, give it away and it'll come back to you. See, you got to renew your mind. You got to get this in. See, through the fall, our brains were short-circuited, and now God's wanting to rewire them the way He wants them wired, the way they were intentionally to be made. You're to be renewed in your mind. Just like a computer, it's got to be downloaded first before it operates. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, Psalms 19:7 says. If you want to act different, get in the Word of God and let it get into you. And it'll change you from the inside out. It's going to be painful. It's going to ask you to do things. You're going to go forgive folks that you don't want to forgive. Let it get into you. But I'm telling you, it's for the better. See, our worship is a gratitude to our Creator and our Redeemer. As Christians, we must follow the commands of God regardless of how we feel. I see so many times labels, people saying things that are so contrary. People that are Christians or so-called Christians that are so contrary to the Bible. And I'm like, how in the world can you say that? The reason why they've done this. He said, well, you throwed the Bible. That's disrespectful. He shouldn't have done that. What do you think God thinks about the way we treat the Bible? We got them on our dash. We got them on our coffee tables. We got everything. We got so many Bibles. We got different translations. And we have yet to get it here and here. And we wonder why we've got another generation of Christians coming up and saying, it's okay to have an alternative lifestyle. It's okay to do this. You can be this and that. You can be a drunkard and go to heaven. You can be a homosexual and go to heaven. My friend, the Bible plainly states, now I'm going to say this, it also states that many of them were those things. Thank God there is still redemption in Jesus Christ. People, I'm not against gays. I'm not against drunkards. I'm not against winos. I'm not against prostitutes. Thank God for them, because God's glory can be shown through them if they just heed the call. But I cannot and I will not be conformed to this world. We cannot. We must stand, though we stand alone. We must stand faithful on the Word of God. No matter what happens, no matter who gets mad, no matter what. And I'm going to say this, there's a whole lot of it. And people say, well, you're just talking about certain sins. Well, I could get into a lot of them. But some of you might walk out. Oh, he's done gone to meddling now. Let's be honest, he's already took me to behind the woodshed. He's done took me behind the woodshed, and it's time to quit playing church, amen? Feels uncomfortable, don't it? You thinking I'm going to call you out, but I'm not. That's God's job. But I am going to tell you this. I will tell you the truth. I will tell you the truth that God demands holiness. He's a holy God. And we should offer up our very best because of His mercy. And it's not in our own strength. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, He gives us everything that we need in Christ. We just got to surrender. See, that's the thing about what marks a Christian's life, is a surrendering to God. Jesus surrendered to God the Father, surrendered to His purpose. And that's what we must do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to share with you the hope that we have. Man, I want to tell you, I'm looking at a bunch of messed up folks. And if I look in the mirror, I'm messed up too. But you know what, though? You know what God sees? If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, do you know what He sees? He sees His Son. You are in Him, just like the ark. Everybody that was in the ark was safe from the wrath, but those that refused to heed the warning got caught in the flood. I want to share with you, today is the day of salvation. Today, you can be born again. I'm not saying that you won't struggle with sin. You will struggle with sin this side of eternity. But I want to say this. You won't have to struggle alone. These altars are open. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come. Come before it's too late. Come before that. You know what? The door closes. And repentance will not be granted. But if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you said, you know what, I've been walking, I've been tiptoeing as close to the line as I could, and every once in a while I slip a toe over into the world, and I just need a closer walk with you. You know what the Bible says? Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. I don't know about anything greater. Knowing that even when I fall, I can still call on His name and say, God, I just want to get close to You. And He says, come here, son. Come here. Come here, boy. Crawl up in my lap. Sit and listen a little while. Get strengthened. Because I'm fitting to send you right back out. If that's you today, these altars are open. What marks a Christian's life? A surrenderness to God. And being a sacrifice. If all minds are clear.